This was the eighth oration in our series. It's predominantly designed to stimulate critical thinking about the design of the Goulburn-Murray region that looks at the inclusiveness of Indigenous peoples into the social and economic platforms within the region. And it also looks at the place of culture as an asset within the region.
And that Dungala, for those who may not know, is the...
The Dungala is the Murray River.
The traditional
And the
name.
Kaila is the Goulburn River that flows through Shepparton. Okay. Yorta Yorta words. So the Kaila Institute and the oration are part of the expression of Yorta Yorta peoples, and the towns of Echuca and Shepparton sit on the lands of the Yorta Yorta nation. And it's the critical thinking that talks about the future of Indigenous peoples in the social and economic agendas within the region.
And that's where you are from?
I'm from Shepparton, yes.
The orator of this year's event well said that the pursuit of economic success is not something one can separate from the social and cultural dimensions of our lives.
This is a really sophisticated and critical issue about not so much the assimilation of Indigenous peoples into the mainstream society, but the capacity of the mainstream society to embrace the identity of Indigenous peoples and to show reciprocity in the respect and value of Indigenous culture in mainstream society. It's really trying to figure out how we establish this vision going forward of the place of Aboriginal people, and to look at what sort of strategies that might exist that we can collectively work towards. I've been using the oration series to support change management in the region, to stimulate thinking and to stimulate it as an investment proposition for the region, as opposed to an intervention engagement of the region. Aboriginal people have been characterised by deficit and interventions for generations, and I think some of those patterns of behaviours that exist in the mainstream is something that we have to really work hard to unpack and to change people's stereotypes and belief systems.
When these orations are delivered with very powerful statements of empowerment, of policies and practices designed by the people, now, does the government follow on these? Do they listen?
So the government's really, we're challenging both the state government and the Commonwealth government to align themselves with the priorities of the region, and to look at the accountability of the region to drive better outcomes for Indigenous peoples. And the challenge is for government to align their broader policies, especially Commonwealth policies, into a regional environment, and to allow our region to have a sense of autonomy around priorities and strategies and the way in which we allocate resources to our priorities. And that's not sort of abdicating any sense of responsibility about the effectiveness of resource allocation. We want to run a strong measurement and research agenda alongside our priorities and our allocation, so that we're the ones that are impacted in a real sense by the lack of good outcomes in the past. So we want to target the priorities and hold ourselves, but hold the region accountable against the sort of measurements we think should be emanating from resource allocation.
Because we always hear about the policies regarding the Murray Basin and the Darling Murray. The latest development, the latest policies, how do they affect the people there?
That's the position of empowerment, that we are at the forefront of decision-making, that we are there when we're negotiating a reasonable outcome around, especially around water usage and water allocations. Our participation shouldn't be confined to what might be deemed as cultural flows or environmental flows. We do need to also be included in the conversation that looks at the commercial flows that exist along the Murray-Darling Basin pathway. And I think how we come to the table is really critical, that we're not siloed into an Indigenous-only perspective on issues facing our communities. I think it's a broader policy approach and a broader and more respectful role that Indigenous leadership should play across society, not just siloed into the Indigenous space.
Land use is also one of the key elements of this empowerment, because you can't just develop policies to people without even empowering them on the use of the land on which they live.
Yeah. So the Dungala Kiala Oration Series has been really talking about stimulating economic growth in our region and looking at how we share in the wealth creation of the region and the productivity and prosperity of the region, the Indigenous prosperity should be commensurate with the region's prosperity, and that is definitely not the case. But the Indigenous leadership can't deal with that issue on its own. It needs strong policy drivers, and it needs strong collaboration across industry leadership with levels of Commonwealth and state government engagement.
One of the key concepts that came out of these orations is the empowered communities.
The empowered communities is, and just talking about the repositioning the value of Indigenous peoples in the conversation that looks at the health and prosperity of our region and what that means to Indigenous peoples. And we're really pushing back on the notion of assimilation, and we're looking for the ways in which there's reciprocity shown around legitimacy of culture and identity in the region, and how the region embraces the sustainability of Indigenous peoples' culture and identity in the economic and social sort of mix of the communities in which we're living. And that's really a design feature that needs to be developed going forward, because at the moment, the design is predominantly around the interventions of poor outcomes in the policy space that's driving, I suppose, the economic base of Indigenous communities. That's going to take some really strategic thinking to how do we to drive through that and to get a better outcome.
When you say that, it's almost 50 years since the 1967 referendum, and we are talking again about another constitutional measure, another referendum to take place very soon. Yeah. Was this discussed at the oration?
It wasn't, but it's 1939 since Yorta Yorta people, since we walked off the Cummeragunga Aboriginal Reserve in protest at the living conditions and the treatment of the government's management of the reserve. But it's also thinking through that as to the collective thinking that we might have now about futures. And I don't think we've advanced that much in terms of driving regional empowerment and establishing a resource base that Aboriginal people can drive their futures from, that allows us to engage in the Western concepts of education and economic development without the fear of compromising on cultural integrity or cultural values. So that's really a critical piece of thinking that needs to be worked through. You know, this is a collective approach. Indigenous peoples, we've been here for 60,000 years. We're investing in the region. We want to continue to invest in our region. We're embedded in the spirituality of the region. It's fair to say that we're looking for collaboration on the way forward. It will require a whole of community approach, not just an Indigenous leadership approach. For want of a better word, it's our treaty conversation around agreement on the way in which we're going to live together.